What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Gridiron Podcast. It's episode 16. Per usual, it's Mike and I. This is our first time in 3 weeks that we're doing an episode together again. And today, we are going to be talking about which teams leading into playoffs have control over their own destiny and which teams don't. So let's get into it. All right, so Mike, do we want to start off with the first game that happened on Thanksgiving, that being the Bears versus the Lions?
Man, dude, this was honestly crazy. I thought, you know, this would be a game that the Lions would just smoke the Bears, blow out, you know, didn't really expect a game to really happen, but that was not the case. Lions go up 16-0, I think it was, pretty quick. Yeah. And then the Bears kind of start storming back. I mean, the Lions went up 23-7 or 23, something like that. I can't, on the top of my head.
I think it was 23-7.
Yeah, and then the Bears start coming back a little bit in the fourth quarter again. You know, they give you that hope, that fourth quarter hope. So, Nick, I actually want to talk about, before we go into the end of the game and the fourth quarter, what was your thoughts about the Lions? How do you think they played?
Yeah, barring like how badly injured our defense is, I mean, we don't have players like Aiden Hutchinson, Alex Anzalone, Derek Barnes. Like, those are key players to be missing in games like this. But overall, I think the offense was really good until like the second half, really. They kind of became more stagnant.
Yeah.
The defense is what is key in this matchup for me, right? Because all of last year we were saying, okay, the Lions offense is the best there is. The defense is what is kind of lacking. And so far this year, the defense has been getting better. Now with all the injuries that the Lions defense has, that was really what I was keyed on, was how the Lions defense plays. And first half, they were doing really good. I mean, first half, the Bears only had 10 yards total.
Yeah.
And then obviously the second half, Caleb Williams started to feel more comfortable getting out of the pocket, finding Keenan Allen for back-to-back touchdowns, and then finding DJ Moore on another touchdown. So I feel like it was mainly on the defense because the offense became more stagnant in the second half.
Yeah, you know, shout out Keenan Allen. I mean, he's kind of had some back-to-back performances. But, you know, I the first half I was like, man, this is going to be a blowout because I saw Penei Sewell trying to throw a football, dude. That was so funny.
I've never been more excited for a 1 yard loss.
I mean, no, that was crazy. And I was like, yeah, this is going to be a joke. So going toward the end of the game, Lions turn it over with, I think it was 3:30 left. Bears have plenty of time, like 2 minute warning. I think a couple timeouts, if not the one timeout. I don't
remember. I want to say all three timeouts, if not two.
Yeah, I thought it was two, if not, yeah. But anyways, so they're driving down the field. And I'm like, wait, they actually have a chance to do this. Like, I was like, there's no way. Like, I was about to get ready to text Nick. You know, if not, they settle for the field goal at worst situation. I thought, you know, Caleb Williams, he's diming up his receivers. And then he takes a sack. And then the 30 seconds left, I'm sitting there shouting at my TV, timeout.
Certainly take a timeout. That's what we were doing. That's what we were doing.
And there's no timeout coming in. And I'm like, what is going on? Then all of a sudden I see Caleb Williams, the line, they're getting up, and all of a sudden they're trying to play call, and next you know, the ball's in the air and game over. I'm going, there is no way.
Yeah.
There is no way.
Now, I'll mention this too. I guess Caleb Williams came out and said that he never even received a play call from Eberflus.
I personally have not heard.
He had to call it himself because he was like, what is going on, right? But, I mean, We mention this every single week. When is Eberflus going to get fired? When is Eberflus getting fired? He left Detroit with one timeout and an opportunity to win against the then 10-1 Detroit Lions. Now the Lions move to 11-1, and I think the Bears are, what, 4-8 now?
Yeah.
But, I mean, let's talk about something within that time frame, right? Caleb Williams takes the sack. It was basically uncovered, right? Muhammad right. and Za'Darius Smith were able to just come in very easily and get the sack. Right then and there, either call another play to get decent yardage and get out of bounds, or call the timeout and then move forward from there. Because it's 23-20 and you have 30 seconds left and you're close to field goal range. Now, their kicker does kick kind of low. So we've seen it get blocked before. Now, if they send out the field goal unit, do we think it's going to be blocked? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying 100% there should have been a timeout called, whether it's after another play or call it right then and there.
Yeah, no, bottom line is you're not leaving Detroit with a timeout. You have to call the timeout there. It's inexcusable. If that doesn't show you the dysfunction of the Chicago Bears organization, at least with Eberflus, I don't know what does, because that was on national TV. That right. breakdown was on national TV. I mean, Bill Belichick, I was watching him on the Pat McAfee show, talk about the dysfunction of Matt Eberflus and how inefficient he is in those situational positions.
Right.
It is inexcusable for a head coach to do that. And, you know, obviously after the game, it was the questions about when will this guy be fired? And the next day they fired him. Thank God. It's just about time. I mean, as a Packers fan, I'm sure as a Lions fan, you can say this too. I loved seeing the breakdowns and, you know, it was almost comedic watching the Bears, because each week there was something new. It wasn't just like, how are they going to lose this game? You know, it was unbelievable how many games they lost in different ways that were just tragic. And it came down to head coaching. So, the Bears release him, about time, but it's too late. The season's over. I mean, you know, you waited too long. The season's done. You go into next season, I guess. But I'm kind of curious as to what this will mean for the Bears going forward in terms of like a coaching position.
Yeah, I think I know they announced someone as their interim head coach. I don't recall his name.
It's Thomas Brown. Yeah.
Thomas Brown. Okay. I see them looking for another head coach after the season's over. Whether that be some of the rumors that are happening, like Ben Johnson. I know you mentioned Vrabel in a previous episode.
Yeah.
I mean, he would be a good fit. I really hope that Ben Johnson doesn't go to the Bears as a Lions fan. But can we also talk about real quick something that I actually tweeted out a couple days ago about the hit from Jack Campbell onto Caleb Williams? I was hearing a lot of people saying it was a dirty hit. And I stated it in my tweet. One, he was still in bounds. Two, he didn't slide. Three, we have seen multiple times like Patrick Mahomes do this fake slide to gain like 20 more yards.
I don't know. I don't know who is saying that. I mean, Twitter's Twitter, but like even the announcer said that that's a clean hit. I mean, Caleb Williams delayed his slide. It was a clean hit. There's no flag, thankfully. Mm-hmm. So it was a clean hit. That's just a bad, poor decision from Caleb Williams. He should have known better. I'm sure he does. But yeah, Twitter, man, I mean, those people just need to take a chill pill.
Or I'll also mention this too, the phantom pass interference on Kendall Vildor towards the end of the game. I think it was fourth quarter, where Caleb Williams threw it downfield to Keenan Allen. Ball was not even close. And Vildor almost picked it off after running like another 15 yards towards the ball. And DPI was called. And it turned into then like a 25-yard penalty.
Right. Now,
Do we think that some of the calls in this game, I'm not saying all of them, but I do believe some calls on both sides were kind of questionable in terms of penalties. Would you say you agree on that or no?
I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's like there's no game with referees that's going to be perfect. You're not going to be able to have both sides be happy with some calls. You know, it's just the game of football. It's just sports. I mean, it's unfortunate that some refs, like I talked about before, can overturn a game in just a snap of a finger. But, you know, you're not going to please everybody. So, I mean, I honestly couldn't tell you what is defensive pass interference anymore. I used to know. Now it's like it's so inconsistent that it's like that's a call. That's a soft call. You know, I've seen some soft calls. I've seen some blatant calls that don't get called. You know, it's just the inconsistency. Now we have situations where we know refereeing crews, like, who are known for refereeing certain games and they're biased toward game. You know, it's sad and it's ruining the sport.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do agree that, you know, there are calls that just, you know, on both sides don't go in the favor. You know, it can overturn a game. But I'm just saying, like, it's just part of the game at this point. You know, you got to do more than just, you know, rely on a reffing crew to call, make a call to screw your team. You know what I mean? It's sad though. It is.
Yeah. And kind of talk about like teams that control their own destiny. Obviously the Lions, they have full control of their destiny.
Yeah.
Sitting at 11-1 this week going up against Green Bay. I know both of us are going to be watching that matchup. It won't be live, by the way, because it is Thursday night game and both of us have stuff to do Friday morning. But the next time that we go live will be, I believe it's next Monday, when I know the Lions versus the Bills and the Packers versus the Seahawks.
Yeah. But speaking of the Green Bay Packers, we have Packers playing Thursday night, on Thanksgiving Day. And, you know, this one, as a Packers fan, I knew the Packers would win. I just didn't know how comfortably. And this game, hands down, despite the score being 30-17, it was a comfortable win. I mean, the Dolphins, again, cannot play in the cold. Tua, I mean, he didn't play bad, but it was just the fact the Packers did a good job of limiting Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill from turning those 12-yard gains to, you know, 20-yard gains, 30-yard gains. They did a really good job at limiting them. And on the flip side, I mean, Josh Jacobs had a great game for the Packers, rushing the football. He's a beast. I mean, the dude is just a beast. Jordan Love, he was efficient with the football today, or not today, but Thursday night. So overall, it was a good Packers win. I'm pretty happy with it. You know, it was a good win. I mean, what do you have to say, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I watched this game, and I remember texting you before the game. I was like, Packers are going to win this. Like, there's no doubt in my mind, because I mentioned, like, you mentioned the Dolphins can't play in the cold. I think specifically Tua cannot play in the cold. I mentioned how he grew up in a warm climate, went to Alabama, played in a warm climate, plays in Miami now, warm climate. And like you said, I mean, the Packers defense has been showing up basically all season. It's definitely a change from what we saw last year, where the defense was kind of, I wouldn't say inconsistent, but like, when are they going to make that big stop? Right.
Yeah.
Now it's like pretty much every single game, you know, they're going to make a big stop. Hopefully not this upcoming Thursday against the Lions, but yeah, I'm sure it's going to happen. But, I mean, overall, I think the Packers are becoming more of a well-rounded team, because you look at previous years of the Packers, right? They were always pass-heavy with, like, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, even last year with Jordan Love. I feel like now adding Josh Jacobs, they are more well-rounded of a team than I think they've been in our lifetime, at least.
Yeah.
And it's scary for the NFC North, because you have really the top three teams are really well-rounded teams. The Lions, Packers, and the Vikings. So I feel like this game going forward, coming this Thursday, could really determine the number one seed for the NFC North, depending on how the Vikings do and how the matchups happen and tiebreakers and everything like that. But I think this game could really determine first place, and it's two really well-rounded teams, two teams that have revamped their defense, are really good at getting turnovers. So I think this is a Packers team that people should be kind of afraid of.
Yeah, a couple last things. Packers were able to finally establish pressure on Tua, getting five sacks, which was a, you know, a topic this whole season, which, you know, where's the Packers pressure? No pressure. This D-line, they're trying to build up this D-line. Where's the pressure? Finally able to see some sacks, which was nice. And also, you know, I just want to say this as like a problem for the Packers who I saw. You know, on first, they like to run the football, big running, you know, the run the football kind of team. But, you know, when those first downs and they run the football and only get like a yard or two, and then they go back to it on second down and get like another yard or two, it's kind of inefficient. You know, I kind of want to see some play action with Jordan Love, because last season we saw a lot of play action work out with, you know, Tucker Kraft on a boot or something, you know, more creative, or a screenplay to Jaden Reed, you know, use that speed of his. You know, I kind of just want to see some more creativity from Matt LaFleur. Obviously, he's doing a great job, but, you know, that's just a little critique I have as a Packers fan, because, you know, there are times when the Packers put themselves in like a third and long, you know, just by running the football twice. So, yeah, you know, but yeah, just a little critique there. But overall, the Packers had a great game. So not too upset with that.
Yeah. And I will say, I think the Packers are like close to controlling their own destiny.
Yeah,
obviously, for sure. Right now, somehow at 9-3, they are third in the NFC North.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
I think it is truly going to depend on this upcoming week against the Lions. And then I believe they versus the Vikings again, right?
Yeah, they play the Vikings and the Bears again. So they still got divisional games.
Yeah, so it's really going to determine on those games. I think the Bears, you guys are going to smoke them. But I think realistically, the Packers are right there to being like a true threat in the league. Like, obviously you mentioned running it on first and second down, not getting much yardage. I would like to see more creativity from Jordan Love, because I think defenses can start picking up on what's going to happen on first and second down. They're going to load the box. They're going to make sure, okay, it's a run play. And I haven't really seen Jordan Love then switch it to a play action or a pass. So
yeah,
the creativity and just play awareness, I would say, is like the key factor in terms of getting the Packers over top.
Yeah. You know, speaking of creativity and awareness, going into the next game, we have a lack of it. Chargers and Falcons. I mean, this was a WTF game for me. I was expecting the Chargers to kind of win this game in like a, you know, 27-17 fashion. But instead, it was a 17-13 game with field goals or going into halftime, like 9-7 or something like that. With the Chargers winning. And I just want to start out by saying WTF Kirk Cousins, 4 interceptions.
Yeah.
A pick 6. I mean, there's a lot of questions to be had.
Makes me wish that I started the Chargers defense over the Commanders defense in fantasy. But I mean, we've been seeing all year, like, the Chargers have been kind of a rebuilt team under Harbaugh. Cousins has been kind of he's had like those really good games, he's had those really bad games, he's had those games like right in the middle. I would say somehow with 4 interceptions, the fact that this game was still close is insane to think about, because normally when you think, okay, 4 interceptions, somebody throws 4 interceptions, including a pick 6, the team that got those interceptions should win by 20.
Yeah, at least.
but it wasn't the case. And it was, like you mentioned, it was a 4-point game. So
yeah.
Do I think that, obviously going into playoffs, right? Falcons right now are leading the division, right? Do we think that now with the Chargers kind of creeping up in the AFC West, do we think that these teams have full control of their destiny? Or are we thinking it could take another week or two?
I mean, as of right now, the Chargers stand at, what is their record? It's 8-3?
Yeah.
8-3. I mean, I think they're pretty comfortable, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to let me double check their schedule right now to
so they have the Chiefs coming up, the Buccaneers coming up.
Couple tough
Broncos, Patriots, and Raiders. And they are currently 8-4.
So realistically, they can win 3 or 4 games, so maybe drop 2 at most. So I think they're pretty comfortable, but it's just a matter of, like, what is this Chargers team on offense? You know, we talked about this, you know, 17-13 game over the Falcons where Justin Herbert had 0 touchdowns. It was a pick 6. That was the only touchdown in the game. Right. And he had 147 yards, and they couldn't run the football. You know, 4 interceptions, how efficient are you, you know, in the red zone? You know, what's going on with the offense not scoring? I don't know. You can't rely on field goals to win you games. And obviously Harbaugh was able to get them this close game of a win, but it's not efficient. I don't think in the playoffs, you know, you can't win like that.
No, especially against, I mean, looking at the standings, like, we can probably say, okay, Bills, Chiefs, right? Steelers, Ravens.
Yeah.
Texans. I mean, Broncos are right on the Chargers' tail.
Right.
That kind of formula of, okay, you get 1 pick 6 and then a bunch of field goals is not going to win you playoff games and is 100% not going to lead you to a Super Bowl, especially against the teams like the Bills, Ravens, and Chiefs.
Right. You know, I also want to talk about, this is an interesting thought I had, Nick. See if you agree with me here or not, but why not bench Kirk Cousins right now? I mean, granted, the only reason I would say not to bench him is obviously with the divisional race. You still have the Buccaneers right there. I believe
they're both 6-6.
6-6, but the Falcons have the tiebreaker over the Buccaneers because they beat them twice. So, you know, looking at the Falcons' schedule here, they have the Vikings. So obviously he won't be benched for that game. Let's just say hypothetically, but they have the Raiders, Giants, Commanders, Panthers. Now, 3 of those 5 teams, the Raiders, Giants, and what was the other team I just said?
Panthers.
Panthers, yes, are all tanking. They're all looking at the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Why not start Michael Penix?
I'm like 50-50 on that. I agree because, yeah, these teams are tanking and Kirk Cousins just had probably one of the worst games in his career. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, yeah, you have the tiebreaker over the Bucs, but I mean, the Panthers, let's just look real quick at the Panthers' last couple of games.
They played tough. They played tough.
They barely lost to the Bucs. They barely lost to the Chiefs. They beat the Giants, beat the Saints. So, I mean, they're playing tough. That's why I'm like kind of hesitant because you can look at some of these teams in the NFC South. Saints could realistically win out. I mean, yeah, I don't see them making the playoffs, but we're talking 3 seed versus potential 4 seed, right? Obviously, you're still going to have a home game, but that's my main concern is like whether you get the 3 seed or the 4 seed in the NFC. So that's why I'm like, okay, kind of keep Kirk Cousins there And then I say, have Michael Penix start playing here and there. I think especially against like they have the Raiders, especially against the Giants, I think start Michael Penix 100%. But Commanders, I would say Commanders, yes, they've been kind of going down. Start Kirk Cousins. Panthers, I think because of that being a divisional game, I think you start Kirk Cousins, but it is the last game of the season.
Yeah.
So,
you know, that's why I'm kind of
50-50.
Do you think with Kirk Cousins that this team would be 500 right now?
Do I think with Kirk Cousins?
Yeah. Like the Falcons in the offseason, they signed Kirk Cousins. Do you think that this team right now, like you expected them coming to the season, they would be 500?
I probably would have expected like maybe one game under 500 or like one game above. With them sitting at 6-6, I did not think at this point in the season they were going to be 6-6.
Yeah.
Especially looking at their schedule. But I think personally with Kirk Cousins coming off of the injury last year, that's why I was like, it might be 500, might not be. But like we were both at the draft saying, like, why are they drafting Michael Penix? Right? Because we were like, yeah, okay, they just signed Kirk Cousins to 280 mil or something. But I was not expecting at this point in the season for them to be 500.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know, when Kirk Cousins came over here, I personally did not expect them to be a 500 team. I thought they would be a lot better. So my thought is last season they were like still around the same, you know, record. It's just a matter of like this team just needed a quarterback. That was it. And they plugged in the solution over the offseason by, you know, getting Kirk Cousins. And it's like they're still in the same spot. They're just in a different position with Kirk Cousins having good games and off games. So what, like, that's why my solution would be, you know, start Michael Penix, start getting him some NFL reps. Because realistically, after next season, the Falcons can dump Kirk Cousins. So, I mean, that's just my thought. That was just my thought.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I mean, I just looked at the Falcons record last year. They were 7-10. But I thought that at this point they would maybe be like 5-7 and then kind of win out.
Yeah.
But at this point in the season, I did not think that they were going to be 500.
Yeah. Well, that's enough time talking about the Falcons because that's, you know, there's a lot there to talk about. Next team that we could talk a lot about too is the Bengals. I mean, this game was awesome though. I mean, I'm glad I watched it.
100%.
It was a shootout. Russell Wilson played great. 400 yards. Burrow also had a great game. But, you know, then again, it was the Bengals' defense. Excuse me. The Bengals defense, yet again, giving up 30-plus points, just problematic. You're not going to win any games. I mean, I don't know. What do you do if you're the Bengals?
I don't even know if I have a right answer for this because, like, they still have not signed, like, re-signed Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a conversation that we had at the beginning of the year, right? How are they going to sign Ja'Marr Chase? Now I'm like, okay, they are playing really good offensively, right? Like Joe Burrow is putting up numbers. Ja'Marr Chase is putting up numbers. But then their defense is what's making them struggle. Do we see next year that Ja'Marr Chase is out? Right? That's now a question that you have to start thinking about because right now they're 4-8. I don't see any world that they make the playoffs. Especially like looking at the standings. I mean, you have the Steelers and the Ravens in their division.
Right.
Browns obviously not making the playoffs. But I think now it's like you need to focus on getting the best record that you can get this year, right? And then immediately re-sign Ja'Marr Chase if you want any chance of doing anything next year. Don't think about draft picks. Don't think about any of that. Think about what you can get Ja'Marr Chase for, how long you can get him for, and make sure that he has a good contract, because at this point, I could see him walking at the end of the year.
Yeah. I mean, the other question too is like, what do you do with Zach Taylor, the head coach? I mean, is he on the hot seat? I don't know, but these last couple of seasons have not been great for the Bengals. And there's a lot of decisions too this season that it was questionable, but you know, will a head coaching change, change the environment or change the outcome next season? Potentially, just depends who they replace him with, but the Bengals have just been an interesting team these last couple of seasons because, you know, every year I expect them to kind of be in the playoffs, you know, if not in the playoffs, but it just seems like their time is missed.
Yeah, like they were in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Like we're talking about a team that was in the Super Bowl, what, 2021? I want to say was the year that they were in the Super Bowl. Either that or 2020. No, it was 2021 because I think it was Joe Burrow's rookie year. I could be wrong in that.
22.
Okay, 2022. So we're talking two seasons ago.
Yeah.
Technically three seasons ago, right? Because the Super Bowl happens in February.
They lost to the Rams. That was it, yeah.
So three seasons ago, these guys were in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Right?
And every single year, we're like, okay, at this point, are they going to make the playoffs, right? Like we're having that conversation now. I think this isn't just a coaching issue, right? Because I think the fact that they still have not re-signed Ja'Marr Chase, even though he was up for extension at the beginning of this year, I think it's an ownership issue. Because I think they haven't had the best draft picks over the past couple of years. And they haven't been re-signing these guys. I mean, I'm thinking of the Bengals and the 2010s Lions are the same thing, right? Because the 2010 Lions weren't re-signing anybody.
Yeah.
They were just letting people walk, letting people walk, letting people walk. So I think this is mainly an ownership issue. And I read something like the owner of the Bengals, his dad was the owner of the Browns and the Bengals. And then an owner of the Browns came in and all of that shenanigans, right? So yeah. I think it's truly an ownership issue because you put so much money into Joe Burrow, right? Highest paid player. I think he still is the highest paid player, even with the signings that happened this past offseason. But I think you need to look at the ownership, right? I'm not saying like, the owner has to go. I think the owner needs to like rethink a lot of the stuff that he's been doing and like get and keep these good players, because these good players are what's keeping you in these games. Because if it wasn't for Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, you could be losing these games by 30.
Yeah, definitely.
So
yeah,
I think it's an ownership issue.
The other problem that has been interesting these past couple seasons is like these fluky games that they drop. You know, like this game one, they lost to the Patriots.
Yeah.
You know, it's just been like out of left field. It's just like, oh, like Joe Burrow, like the offense is slow starting. It's like, but here we go again. And here you are at 4-8. You know, it's like you're digging yourself a hole early into the season, which, you know, I don't understand. But going on to the next game, I think this one was actually pretty interesting. The Cardinals and Vikings. I was looking forward to this one. Necessarily just because of the Cardinals run game with James Conner versus this stout Vikings defense, and they did limit him. And this was a good game though overall. But the Vikings did end up winning it with Sam Darnold's late touchdown drive, minute 30 left. Kyler could not get it done, threw a pick at the end, but it was a good game. You know, I'm not too upset about this one. This was a good game, but you know, at the beginning of the season, Nick, we saw the Vikings just crushing everybody. It was like, holy crap, these guys are on like another level.
Yeah. Yeah.
As of recently, they've really taken a step back and they've been winning these close games. What do you think is the reason for that?
Do you want my real answer? Do you want my PR answer?
I want your bold, honest answer.
It's because of the Detroit Lions. We said it at the beginning of the year, right? Vikings were 5-0. What team is going to bring this team back to earth? And we both said Detroit Lions. Since then, yeah, they've been winning, right? But it's been by one. Maybe four.
One-score games, yeah.
Every single game has been a one-score game. And mind you, they were up 10-0 against the Lions.
Yeah.
So I think that's my bold answer. My real answer, I think, is, I mean, the same thing with the Lions, right? These defensive injuries, right? Like, you are losing a lot of these key players. And I say players because I say this almost every single week. It doesn't one player does not change an entire team, right?
Right, 100%.
And I'm sure we'll kind of slightly talk about the 49ers and their situation with both their running backs now going on to IR in terms of CMC and I forget their backup, but I think it was Nelson. I think his last name was, but yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot of it being injuries. And I think a lot of teams are starting to pick up on what the Vikings do. Because their defensive scheme is like, okay, we're going to show blitz, and then we'll pull these guys back and only rush two, right? And I think teams are starting to pick up on it a little bit.
Now, Flores, he brings pressure. He's a blitz guy. But
A lot of those times where they're showing blitz, and then they
only rush two or three.
Yeah.
He's good on, like, third downs bringing blitz. Mm-hmm. But – I think for me, my answer is Sam Darnold's coming back to earth. There's been a lot of fluky throws I've seen that could have been picked in this Cardinals game, but, you know,
yes,
defenders can't catch all of a sudden. But that, as well as, like, I think people are starting to figure out the Brian Flores scheme, you know, on defense. I think teams are figuring it out as the season goes along, especially, like, the teams in the division who get to play them twice. But I think the Vikings are going to be an interesting team in the playoffs because I'm interested to see if they're legit. I mean, are they legit with these top teams? So I think that's interesting. Any final thoughts there on this game?
I mean, it's definitely crazy to think about because their schedule is not too easy to end the season.
Yeah.
Because they have the Falcons coming up. They have the Bears, Seahawks, and then they end with the Packers and the Lions. So
yeah.
I think it will be very interesting to see. One, I'm not saying 100% they're making the playoffs, right? There's a lot of stuff that could still happen. Hell, the 11-1 Detroit Lions still have not clinched a playoff spot. Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that could still happen within the NFC North. And especially within the NFC in general. But I will say this, it will be an interesting way to see how this team matches up against teams in the playoffs. Because like you said, they were blowing out teams. And I remember when we did the season predictions, we did not expect at this point, the Vikings were even going to be close to their record that they are right now.
No.
So they've definitely exceeded expectations. It's just if they can keep those expectations after starting 5-0.
Yeah. As you mentioned, you know, the Lions haven't clinched a spot, and that's because of the team that's right behind them is the Philadelphia Eagles at 10-2, as they just won and took over this game against the Ravens, which was a good game. I liked it. I liked watching it too. They're, you know, the Eagles, no one has really talked about it as much as I thought people would. They're on an 8-game win streak, and they've beat some good teams like, you know, the Ravens, the Bengals, Commanders. I mean, they've beaten some good teams. and no one's kind of really talking about it. I'm kind of just wondering why. But
I think I have a couple of answers on why, but go ahead and continue.
Yeah, no, go ahead. I was going to talk about the analysis. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think a lot of their success is being kind of overshadowed by a lot of these other teams. You look at the Bills,
that's a good point.
You look at the Ravens, you look at the Lions. I mean, the Lions are on a 10-game win streak, 11-1 for the first time in franchise history. One of the best offenses, one of the best pass defenses, but not so much on the rush, which is complete opposite of what was last year. They were really good against the rush last year, really bad against the pass. But I think it's a lot because of they're getting overshadowed. Because obviously I think Saquon could be in the MVP conversation. I think he could be, but he's not. Because you have people like Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, Jared Goff, potentially like Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery could be in that conversation here and there. 100% Patrick Mahomes should not be in that conversation.
No, God, no.
I've been saying it all year. The Chiefs have not impressed me. They're 11-1. They've already clinched the number one seed somehow, even with the Bills having a tiebreaker against them, and they're at 10-2, I think, as well. But you look at the Eagles, right? They played a really solid game against the Ravens, and they've beaten a lot of these great teams. And you look at their defense specifically, right? We've been talking about the Eagles' defense coming into this year. What were they going to be like, right? They drafted a couple of corners going into this year, like Cooper DeJean. And realistically, I think their defense has been stepping up because their offense has been doing their thing, right? With Saquon Barkley backwards hurdling people. But my question now, my question now is, do we see this team being the same in the playoffs? Because we look at Nick Sirianni's track record in the playoffs. I mean, first year, lost in the wild card. Second year, lost in the Super Bowl. The very next year, lost in the wild card. Do we see their success being the same in the playoffs this year as it was like not there in the previous years?
Well, according to that pattern, they're going to lose in the Super Bowl this year. So if we're going off that theory.
I don't think
the Super Bowl. Yeah, no. I think
maybe NFC Championship.
Yeah, I think they'll make it deep into the playoffs. But I don't know. You know, I don't think, in my opinion right now, just no one's beating the Lions. Lions are going to the Super Bowl. That's my thought right now. But nonetheless, though, I want to go back to this game because Justin Tucker, dude's been off it this year. You know, is it time for him?
Yeah. It was a very hesitant yeah for me. I don't feel confident in my answer. I will say it's kind of getting close to his time because, I mean, what, he missed three field goals last game against
the Eagles? Two or three, yeah.
And normally we think of him being automatic from even out from 60 yards. And right. I think it's getting close to that point where it's like if he decides to keep pushing to play, right? I think you see the Ravens bringing in another kicker within the next year or two just to see how it stacks up because you can't win with missing two or three field goals. Like no matter what, 100%. If you miss, like that's 6 to 9 points off the board that you could have got, right? And it's even worse when you miss an extra point.
Right. No, he's, you know, I haven't really been able to say like a kicker has costed a team a win, but like he's costing the Ravens some games. I mean,
who was the Packers kicker for the first couple of weeks?
Anders Carlson. Yeah, dude, don't even get me started. But I mean, yeah, no, he's definitely been costing the Ravens some games. But nonetheless, though, the Ravens on offense still didn't really do that much. So this game was kind of like, you know, the Eagles had it, the Eagles were up 24-12 in the second half. They had the win comfortably. So it was a comfortable win for the Eagles. So, but going into the last game that I want to talk about, Nick, another comfortable win, but this is like a big headline. Niners and Bills.
Yeah.
It was a blowout. Smoke show from the Bills. I mean, what do you want to say?
49ers are not making it to the playoffs.
No. Not on this track.
I'll just say that because we look at now with their injuries, like obviously you lose CMC again, and Brock Purdy just getting healthy again has to go play in the snow in a blizzard in Orchard Park. And I mean, Josh Allen, first quarterback of the year to get a rushing touchdown, a receiving touchdown, and a passing touchdown in one game.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That was crazy. Yeah, no, that was crazy.
And the fact that his receiving touchdown came on a lateral from, I think, Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
Is even more insane. But I'll also say this. Josh Allen had one of the most insane weekends that you can ever think of. Right? Like, he won, beats the 49ers at home, and also he got engaged.
Yeah.
So congrats to Josh Allen and Haley Steinfeld on getting engaged. But yeah, 49ers, who are they, right?
Yeah, they are.
You beat the Lions in the NFC Championship, right? Everyone's talking, oh, you're going to go back to the Super Bowl again this year. Oh, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Nope. Not happening because they find – it's the same thing with the Bears. They find new ways to lose.
You know, I kind of feel bad for the 49ers because they haven't really had like a legitimate chance this year. It kind of just seems like one guy goes down with an injury, then another guy. And it's like your whole roster is out, even for the Packers game. So it's like, how can you really work with that? I mean, I know people once again are calling for Kyle Shanahan, but it's like he's working. I think he's working with what he's given. And I don't know how you can, you know, want him gone when your roster's gone. I mean, half of them are on IR, as you just talked about. They lost CMC. Now they lost Jordan Mason. I mean, two of their best running backs. So how can you work with that? It's really tough in the NFL to have a third string running back, you know, going against a stout D-line. Well,
they had to sign somebody. I forget who they signed, but they just signed somebody.
But as if for this game, I mean, the 49ers, the question is the season over? I mean, because they don't have control of their destiny anymore, as I believe they're 5-7 now, especially with losing some games in the division too, to like the Cardinals and the Rams. So I'm kind of curious, Nick, do you think that, you know, with them not controlling their own destiny, if they lose a couple more games, do you think like, this is kind of it. This is the window.
Yeah, I think so because the NFC West is so competitive now. And even looking at the 49ers upcoming schedule, the Bears, I think they'll win that game. Rams, it's going to be a really close game.
Tough game.
Dolphins in Miami, I think really depends on what version of Tua we get. Lions, I think there's no shot they win that. And then the Cardinals. To end off the year.
Yeah.
So I think their window is like slightly open, but like really close to getting closed. I think one, if they lose to the Bears, I think there's no shot they're doing anything. Right. And now it's like, okay, you got to look at free agency too. Like we were talking about, well, they drafted two wide receivers to start the draft, right? You re-signed Brandon Ayuk. He was out most of the year. Now we're talking about Deebo Samuel, what he's going to do. And he's even been caught saying, this is the toughest year of my entire career.
This is right? Also, too, I was going to say, they also have to pay Brock Purdy. So
yeah.
It really is an interesting situation because
and CMC, because I'm pretty sure he's coming up too.
It is interesting because I just don't know what direction you go if you're the 49ers. I mean, you're going to have to rely on other teams to lose or tiebreakers to make it into the playoffs anyways this year. If you lose another game, as you said, or two, it's like you have no shot. And then you're in like the middle of the pack for a draft pick. So it is interesting to see what happens with the future of this team.
Yeah, I can definitely see them losing maybe two or three games going into the final stretch. Like I said, if they lose the Bears, I think there's no shot.
Yeah. So I think the 49ers, an interesting chapter. We'll see what happens with their season going forward. But on the flip side, I want to ask you, do you think the Bills are the best team in the AFC?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
I think record-wise, obviously on paper, record-wise they're not. But I think they're the most well-rounded team in the AFC. Obviously beating the Chiefs a couple weeks ago. But I think there's no question. I think I've been saying it for a couple weeks now. I think the Super Bowl matchup is going to be Bills versus Lions. I think that's like the clear-cut favorite of what the Super Bowl matchup is going to be. And it's like you have a team that in the 70s, I want to say, 70s, 80s, they lost four straight Super Bowls, going up against a team that's never made a Super Bowl. So I think that's going to be one of the craziest Super Bowl matchups. And I'm hoping that it happens. So we'll have to see going forward how the season plays out.
Absolutely. And we'll see going forward what happens with them this season.
But yeah, that's going to do it in today's episode. We talked about some of the craziest games that happened this week, and it's only going to continue with how hard these teams schedules and making a push for the playoffs. But yeah, you guys could find us on YouTube, Spotify, and Amazon Music, and follow our Twitter at GridironPodNFL. New episodes coming out every single Thursday. And like I said, live stream will be announced, but we are planning on, I don't know which day it is. I know it's...
might be next week.
Yeah, I think it might be next week, where the Lions versus the Bills and the Packers versus the Seahawks. So we'll have to see how those games play out, but we'll see you guys next week. Thank you guys for tuning in, and yeah, see you guys.